Chapter 14. Nazneen Takes Control. Nazneen hid Hasina's letter under the sewing machine the next morning. She had decided. The plane left tomorrow night, and she and the girls would not be on it. But she was not ready to tell Chanu yet. He might make her change her mind. They were supposed to leave for the airport at 10. So Nazneen wanted to wait till 9 o'clock to tell him. That would give them an hour to talk, to say goodbye. And maybe he would change his mind and stay. But she felt sure he would not give up his one last dream. Now she had decided there were things she needed to do. She knew the street where Mrs. Islam lived, but she did not know the number. She was looking for Chanu's address book when there was a knock at the door. It was Mrs. Islam. "I was coming to see you," Nazneen told her.
"Oh, really?" said Mrs. Islam, without surprise. She came in, rubbing her bad leg. Behind her, her two large sons tried to fit through the doorway at the same time. "Just get inside," Mrs. Islam said. Mrs. Islam lay on the sofa. Son number one and son number two stood behind it.
"We are leaving tomorrow," said Nazneen.
"You'll miss the march then," said son number two.
"Yes," Nazneen looked around. "Too much to do."
"It's going to be fun," said son number two.
Mrs. Islam sat up.
"I'll tell you what's funny. All our boys marching around with nothing better to do. I bet not more than 10 white people will be there tomorrow."
She lay down again and looked at Nazneen.
£200 to finish paying what you owe," she said.
Nazneen looked down at her hands.
"We've already paid it all back. With interest."
Mrs. Islam coughed. Her sons understood. There was a sound of breaking glass. Son number two had smashed a glass shelf.
"You're upsetting my mother," said son number two. "When she gets upset, I get upset. Sometimes I break things."
"Quick," said Mrs. Islam to Nazneen. £200 and it's done."
"No," said Nazneen. Son number two smashed two more shelves.
"We paid what we owed and more," said Nazneen. "I'm not going to pay any more to a usurer."
"You bitch," said son number one.
"I only helped a friend who was in trouble," whispered Mrs. Islam.
"So you're not a usurer," shouted Nazneen. "You didn't make us pay high interest. Let's see then. Swear it on the Quran and I'll give you the 200.
Son number one moved towards her.
"I'm going to break..."
"What? My arm?" shouted Nazneen. "Break them both."
And she held out her arms. Slowly, Mrs. Islam sat up straight on the sofa. She stared at Nazneen with red-hot anger in her eyes. Nazneen stared back. A minute passed. Then Mrs. Islam stood up.
"There are some things a wife does not want a husband to know," Mrs. Islam said.
Nazneen felt her face burning, but she did not look away.
"You don't want anything to spoil your new life back home."
"My husband knows everything," said Nazneen. "He'll come soon. Why don't you ask him?" For the first time, Nazneen saw a look of surprise on Mrs. Islam's face.
"Swear on the Quran," said Nazneen. "That's all you have to do."
Mrs. Islam walked over to son number two and picked up her bag. Son number two understood.
Let's go, he said. They paid too much anyway.
He laughed. When they had gone, Nazneen began to clean up the broken glass. She felt peaceful. God helped me find a way, she thought. After that, she took the train to central London to meet Karim in a place where people would not recognize them. She thought of him in his jeans and trainers, sitting at her table, telling her about the world outside her window. That was how she liked to remember him. But it had never been like that. She had loved his confidence, the idea that he knew his place in the world. But Karim had never even been to Bangladesh. He did not feel sure of his place in the world. That was why he felt he needed to fight for it. She met him at Covent Garden, as arranged.
What is it? He said, as soon as she came near. I've got 1,000 things to do.
My husband bought the tickets. The flight is tomorrow. Karim became very still. But I'm not going, she continued. The children aren't going.
All right, said Karim.
Then we can talk again after the march. I've got 10,000 things to do.
I know. I had to tell you.
Tell me on the phone next time, said Karim. We shouldn't see each other again before the wedding.
We can't get married.
Not straight away, said Karim.
Not ever.
What do you mean, not ever?
I don't want to marry you, said Nazneen.
He stood in front of her and took hold of both her hands.
Look at me, he said. If you mean it, you must tell me again while you look at me.
Nazneen tried to keep the pain for herself, not to give it to him.
I don't want to marry you.
It was the worst thing she had ever done. He let go of her hands.
You really don't.
It would be too difficult, said Nazneen. So I think we had better stop now. I have to think of the children first.
I understand, said Karim.
He seemed sad, but Nazneen also felt that she had made his life easier. Then he said,
I think I know what the real reason is. If you were with me, you'd never be able to forget that we started this in sin. Is that what it is?
It was not. She was the real thing, Karim had said. A Bengali wife, a Bengali mother, an idea of home, an idea of himself. And he was something she had sewn together for herself in the dark, and now that she looked at it in the light, she could see the stitches everywhere. She touched his hand for the last time.
Oh, Karim, how can I explain? I wasn't me, and you weren't you. From the very beginning to the very end, we made each other up.
By the end of that day, the bags were packed, and Nazneen decided to go and see Razia. Just outside, she met Dr. Azad.
I've been to see Tariq, he said.
Oh, yes, said Nazneen. I'm going to Razia's now.
Good, good, said the doctor.
Nazneen had questions she had not been able to ask before. But now she did.
Dr. Azad, she said, did your wife leave you?
A shadow passed over his face.
No, he said softly. She's still there, but not really.
I understand, said Nazneen.
And Dr. Azad, why did you give my husband that money?
The doctor smiled. Because he's my friend. My very good friend.
The day had come. Nazneen sat in the girls' room. She had not heard Shahana speak since yesterday morning. Bibi's face was completely blank. Nazneen knew they were upset, but she was afraid that if she told them, they would not be able to hide it.
Shahana, Bibi, listen. Sometimes the bad things that you think are coming don't come at all. You just have to wait and see. I'll make things right. Be patient. Don't upset yourselves.
Shahana kicked her.
Wait and see, she cried. How long have you waited? I'm sick of it.
Chanu was in the bedroom packing. He looked at her.
Your sister will be so happy to see you. Imagine it.
Yes, said Nazneen. I have imagined it many times, over many years.
He looked at her, then sat down on the bed and held his knees. He looked very small. She went close to him. She knew they did not have much time left, and suddenly it did not seem enough. He took a deep breath.
I haven't been a perfect husband, he told his knees, or a perfect father. But I don't think I've been a bad husband, have I? Not bad. Some of our women never go out. Their husbands don't allow them to work. Not all Bangladeshi men are modern, like me.
It was lucky for me that my father chose an educated man, she said, and she thought her heart would break.
Later, Chanu went out to get a few things, and Nazneen walked around the bare apartment. She looked out of the window and remembered it was the day of the march. She saw a simple stage in the area between the blocks of flats. People were pouring in from all sides of the estate. Young men and boys, women and girls, and older men as well. Nazneen looked for Karim near the stage, but could not see him. She lay down on the bed and slept. When she woke, it was dark outside. She checked the time. 6 o'clock.
Amma?
It was Bibi.
Bibi, were you waiting for me? Let's go to the kitchen and get something to eat. Get your sister. Amma? What is it?
She's gone, said Bibi.
She began to cry.
She's run away!
Bibi told her mother everything. Shahana was going to meet her friend Nishi at the Shalimar Cafe in Brick Lane. Nishi's 16-year-old sister had gone for a holiday in Bangladesh and returned 6 months later, pregnant and with a husband. So Nishi was running away too. They were going to catch the train to a place where there were no Bangladeshis.
Wait here, said Nazneen to Bibi. Don't move.